Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, 2016. We plowed through 2015, and here we are, the 5th of January of the new year.
Yeah. New Year's always an exciting time, isn't it?
Oh, is it really?
No. Well, I think a lot of people, I mean, one of my favorite things to do in the new year is to drive by the various workout clubs and gyms and see how packed the...
How packed they are in January.
How packed they are. And then a few months later, go back and just notice it again.
Yeah, nobody there.
Nobody there. You know, so much for resolutions. But I saw Billy Joel in concert for the new year, for New Year's Eve.
How was he?
He started out slow. I was a little bit disappointed the first, I don't know, the first, we'll call it 45 minutes. But then he picked up speed, and then the new year came. Oh, actually, right before the new year came, Kevin James came out on the stage, and he was kind of funny.
Kevin James, the guy who's the mall cop?
Yeah, Paul Blart.
Paul Blart, mall cop, was on the stage. Did he come out in a Segway?
No, he came out in a ugly outfit. One of those big old shirts that hangs over. And he did a little routine, and he played a little bit. And he goes, hey, well, how come you haven't played this song? And he gets on the piano and does a little bit. And Billy Joel was laughing along with him. That was it was fun. But then I think it was right before midnight, out on the stage came Howard Stern and Jimmy Kimmel.
Where were you?
I was in Fort Lauderdale at the BB. But they didn't do anything. They just, Happy New Year. You know, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for the free tickets.
Free tickets is what they were there for.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then he went off after New Year's a bit. He really started to get good. He went off. He did an encore. He did like an entire set for an encore, another 45 minutes. And that was really rocking.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
That was good. I did some diving over the New Year.
Okay.
Went up to...
How was that?
Miserable.
Why was that?
So my friend and his son got certified recently up in, New Jersey area in cold water. And we had promised him, we'll go diving when you come down here. So we went up to Singer Island, nice little area. I got a boat, a dive boat that we got reservations on. And the problem was that I noticed that the weather was really, really bad. And it's been that way for a couple of weeks. I'm thinking, oh, man, I don't want to go out in this bad weather. But I didn't want to disappoint his son. So we went out anyway in like 4 to 6 foot seas.
Well, that was a mistake.
I held it in most of the time. Everybody was puking on the boat. The second dive when we came up, we had to stay on the boat for about an hour to decompress and all that. And I said, you know what? I'm not feeling good with these diesel fumes coming in, and I'm not doing very well. So I said, can I get in the water? They said, well, once we get into the spot, then you could dive in. And because once you get in the water, you feel fine. So it was about 2 minutes too late that I got into the water. And it was an ugly scene.
Oh, God, I don't want to know any more than that.
It was an ugly scene. Yep. And I'm not one of those guys that can throw up gracefully. It's ugly. Anyway, so had some good times.
Kind of the way the markets were at the end of the year.
Right. And I had a good scotch. Got Glenmorangie, the 18-year-old. That was excellent.
Yeah, sure it was.
Polished a bottle off. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about what's going on. We have, just to let everybody know, a brand new way of looking at the show notes, the information that we talk about on the show, as well as links to the various things we talk about. So you can go over to DH Unplugged and check that out. There's a little area below in the middle of the page where you can click, and it will open up all the show notes, and it will give you links to the stories that we're talking about. It'll give you some pop-ups for some of the charts we're talking about, and I think that will be a very nice addition to the DH Unplugged site. So check that out. So yeah, you mentioned the Dow Jones, the S&P, they finished, and the NASDAQ finished 2015 on a bit of a sour note.
Yeah. Just like you.
Yeah, on a slouch. And it turned out that the Dow Jones and the S&P finished in the red for 2015. Although, as we talked about throughout the whole year, right, it looked better than it really was. Because underlying all of the large caps.
Crap.
Terrible.
Underlying everything.
Terrible. Yeah.
So it probably it ended up honestly.
Yeah, I would say, but more, I think it was more favorable to the mega caps. The small caps got, you know, abused, and the commodity stocks and material stocks got hit. But then all of a sudden 2016 comes around, and wouldn't you know it, they flipped it all around. They sold right in the beginning, sold off Netflix, sold off Google, sold off Facebook, Microsoft. All of them got chopped right at the first day of the year.
Yeah.
And some of that's being blamed on what happened in China. If you didn't pay attention, China halted their markets on the first day of trading because it did limit down of 7%, triggering circuit breakers after they announced some very, very poor economic news. Then the government comes in the next day and says, well, first of all, just to let you know, those limitations that we had on selling, they put all these limitations in for several months after that big crash on selling any shares. Well, we were supposed to lift those. We're going to keep them on a little bit longer. And on top of that, they spent about $20 billion the next day trying to prop up markets. Market opened up 3% down the next day, and it finished up, I think, flat for the day. And they are doing some job of devaluing the yuan. In fact, once again this evening, as we are talking, once the markets opened there, the yuan shot up. The yen and the dollar is moving down against the yen, the euro, and futures are getting a little bit scrambled right now because nobody knows what to do with all this intervention. So there's a big problem there. But they're definitely doing a serious devaluation here, and you could see that actually, I put a chart there, since July, they have devalued their yuan by about 7%. That's pretty significant for a currency, don't you think?
I would think it's way too significant.
Right. And now the discussion, oh, well, maybe their GDP is going to be 6%. I mean, I thought we were 8%. Then we went to 7.5, then 7, then 6.5. I mean, where it just keeps on going down.
Yeah, well, probably because there's no business.
Nobody's shopping in China. So we have this real big...
It's very suspicious.
Yeah, well, I mean, the government, I think, listen, if you were involved in a stock market and you knew that the government could prohibit selling to a degree, what would you do?
Get out as soon as they could.
You'd sell. So that's what's going on. They're not making it any easier for the markets to move higher, whether it's valued correctly or not. So pretty.
They don't understand the mechanism.
Yeah, they're bad.
Pretty obvious at this point. It's fine when everything's going peachy, but then when things they try to correct, they try to screw with it. I mean, they try to manipulate.
Yep,
it's not doable.
Intervene.
I think everyone's figured this out by now.
Yeah,
except them.
And then over the weekend, we also saw that there's some new tensions. This whole thing that went on there with the killing of all these people and the cleric, that was pretty unbelievable.
Well, it's not unusual. It just got a lot of attention this time because of the cleric.
The cleric, yeah. You don't kill a man of God, right?
Well, it seems to be kind of a convoluted story. I'm not absolutely sure what happened. I mean, this guy's been arrested over and over again. He more or less... advocates the overthrow of the royal family, and he's trouble. I don't know why they just didn't deport him, though.
Right. But then there was riots, and Saudi Arabia cut off diplomatic relations with Iran, and all sorts of problems there. This is a country that we just made nice with, for whatever reason. Good old Iran.
Right. Yes.
So even with that, initially, this was really interesting. The price of crude oil shot up. Which you would think would happen, right? You have all this Middle East tension.
Yeah, Middle East tension equals oil prices going up.
Right. So oil prices go up like 4%. And then as the day moves on, nothing changed. Oil just started coming down and then just broke down. So even with Middle East tension, you can't keep oil up. It's pretty sad. No. Pretty ridiculous.
Well, they're not stopping production.
What's the price of gas by you?
Oh, it's I think it's like 280 or something like that for a premium.
Wow. Yes, it clipped $2 here. So $1.99.
Well, I'd have to go check. It's been changing radically.
Yeah.
I could be high.
Now with all this
$1.99, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty good, right?
That's for regular though, I'm sure.
Regular, yeah. Regular unleaded. So now, with all of this going on, and the commodity prices sliding, and oil prices sliding, and global growth slowing, overcapacity, we saw that, I think this is fascinating actually, that the Baltic Dry Index, remember we used to talk about that quite often?
Yes, and then you finally talked me out of talking about it because you said it was a useless index in the modern era.
It's useless as a standalone to say what is happening with the world's with the world's growth rate and things like that. But as a part of the puzzle, I think it has value. A lot of people are looking at it as, if the Baltic Index drops, that means that, China's not, any country out there is not shipping anything. Well, one of the big problems that happened was that too many ships were built. So it was not so much that there wasn't the same level of demand or same level of shipping that was going on. They just overbuilt. And what happened was that, there was just, you could just simply drop the price because, there were so many other competitors that you could use. But they stopped doing that. And they stopped building and overbuilding. They got the message, these shippers. And, prices went up nicely. Now, what's interesting, though, I think now, is when we're in a world that's not, quote-unquote, collapsing, like we saw, there's still some reasonable growth out there, albeit slower, that the Baltic Dry Index hit an all-time new low today.
What is it?
468.
Wow. It ended the year at 473.
Yeah, from a year ago, rates are like 39% lower. And there's a chart that I put there. You can see the...
Yeah, that's at one point it was pushing at 2,000.
2,000? That was in... What was that in? That was in February of 2014.
Yeah.
2,000, and now it's at 473. Since then, it's down 76%. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable.
I don't know why we can't get our FedEx rates.
I feel like
rates.
I should be shipping something.
Yeah, I want to ship everything there.
Ship.
Yeah, it may take a few extra days, but I don't care if it goes around China and back. It will cost me nothing compared to my FedEx bills, which are ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, you got to stop using FedEx.
I mean, or
post office.
Or UPS or whatever it is. Yeah.
Post office is good.
They're much better. And they've been much better on their deliveries and on their accuracy and all that. For a long time, they were really bad, weren't they?
Yeah, well, they've really gotten it down. I think the post office is one of the most reliable services now.
Yeah,
it depends on your individual post office. There are little fiefdoms or fiefdoms from post office to post office. So if you have a good local post office, you can do quite well with it.
Mm. You remember a few weeks ago or months ago, we were talking about the whole idea of some people don't even know what a payphone is.
Right.
Right. I mean, they don't know. Some people even wrote me. They had to look it up.
Payphone.
So New York City is going to be starting to, this month, replacing thousands of payphones with free Wi-Fi hotspots that will be, these Wi-Fi hotspots will be on top of a big box, and they'll have screens in there and an Android tablet that can be used to place free phone calls.
Well, this is stuff that's going to get stolen.
That's exactly what I thought. You put an Android. How do you lock down an Android tablet?
Well, I can imagine they would make it so that the tablet was not movable and it was part of a system, and then maybe it was pretty much shut down on all four sides and glued to something, and then you could just touch the thing. But even that, people are going to go in there with a hammer,
yeah, exactly,
and just pop it. Hey, look at this!
And even if they put them in one of those protective, we'll call it plastic boxes.
Popped.
How do you even use it?
This is dumb. This is the naivete of Bill de Blasio.
Yeah,
or whoever's behind
it. Well, because they're
going to have an Android or any tablet in there with those touch screens because people are going to go in there and punch them.
Right. And they're going to use it for,
they're going to wonder, they may have one at home. They go, well, what would happen? I'm not going to try this on my own, but what happens if you take a ballpoint pen across the thing? Oh, that's interesting. It's all scratched up and ruined.
Yep. And obviously what they're going to do is try to pay for this through advertising. Once again, hitting us in the face with advertising.
Did you hear the story about CNN they're going to move to all native advertising? At least is the theory. They want to do this. They want to drop all advertising, and they want to go to change everything to 3-minute native ads. So all advertising will be a news story.
Oh, that's terrible. You know what's terrible about that? You don't know what's real and what's not.
Well, that's, yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
It's true. I hate it.
I think it's terrible.
It's terrible. It's totally terrible.
You know, there was a type of advertising many years ago that was outlawed. And that was subliminal advertising, right?
Yeah, but that'll be next.
No, isn't, what's the difference? If it's a news story and it's kind of, you know, if this whole advertising deal is wrapped around a news story, or if it's somehow you get a link from somebody that you supposedly know somehow, and it's actually an ad disguised, so isn't it the same thing as being very divisive in the delivery?
As far as I'm concerned, it is.
I don't understand how this is allowed.
Well, for one thing, they figure nobody watches ads anymore because of the DVRs, which is probably true. And they look into when advertising was slightly altered from what it is today, it was in the 1950s and probably part of the 60s, where if you watched the game show was sponsored by someone. It was like Remington Rand's
yep.
Ask a Secret or something. And it would be the whole show. The logo would be on everything.
Right.
They have a card. They flip it over, you know, $20. They flip it over and have the Remington Rand logo on top. And everything was Remington Rand. And that kind of thing I can see possibly working. But that's not trying to trick you like native advertising does, which is trickery. It's like,
yeah,
we're going to tell you a story, but it's actually somebody paid us to tell you the story.
Right.
Yeah. And we're going to try to trick you.
Yeah.
So you have to listen to the whole story.
I'm going to tell you a story how someone's made millions of dollars using their iPhone. Amazing story. And, you know, this guy, he took his iPhone, he put on all these apps, and he did this thing on YouTube, and he made, you know, $250 million doing it. What a great thing. And, you know, it's amazing. Almost anybody could do it. It's terrible. Very bad.
Yeah, just watch this video.
Right, yeah. Just go here, and you could find out more. It's, the whole thing is terrible. You know what? We've become so lax on this whole advertising deal. And I agree that, I mean, I can't just... You can't go anywhere these days on the web anywhere without just being smacked in the face. And, you know, there's been
why ad blockers are so popular.
Yeah. But can you ad block on videos?
It depends on, you know, it depends on how the video is presented. If they're going to start a video, no, I don't think so. If, you know, like if it's a video show, you mean?
If it's a video and there's an ad in the beginning, yeah.
Well, that's what you did. That's what DVRs are for. Oh, at the beginning? Not that I know of.
I'm talking about on the web. No, I'm not talking about...
Yeah, no, I even on the web. I don't know that ad blockers will stop the pre-roll, it's called.
Yeah.
What you're talking
right,
about.
Right. Exactly. Well, President Obama is going to...
That'd be a good gimmick, though, to come up with that, but I don't know how you could do it.
Yeah, that's the problem. Anyway. They're trying to... The whole point is so that you can't skip it.
Yeah, that's the point.
That's the whole point. Well, President Obama is going to invoke the executive order again. Now, this is interesting in that he could do this, it seems, when Congress is not in session, right? Isn't that how this works?
No, not necessarily. Somebody pointed out that nothing he's doing is different than some 1968 law that was already passed that's not enforced. I just heard that. Just before the show, I heard that.
But isn't the whole point of the system of checks and balances in our particular governmental system to
these executive things are no good. They're not good for the system. Hmm. It's within a range. You know, there's apparently some leeway the president has, and he's taking advantage of it. He can't do as much as you'd think, but
I would think that executive order can be overturned. Well, again, he's not the presidential component of our government is not the lawmaker.
Right. Congress is.
So I don't know why there's not much more of a flap about this. But anyway.
Well, there is actually quite a
flap. No, Donald Trump is gasping. He's freaking out. We know that. but he's going to do an executive order, something along the lines that requiring certain checks and certain other things and making it more difficult.
Pretty vague. I listened to the press conference, the whole thing.
And?
Yeah, you know, it's like, we want to do this, we want to do that. He went into tears, which I thought was, I don't know if it was presidential, but he's crying like a baby up there.
Really?
It's like John Boehner does.
Oh, gosh.
And it was long, and and kind of boring. He just went on and on and on for, I don't know, it was, must have been a half hour.
Wow.
Moaning about one thing. The thing, the joke of it is, and this has been pointed out by all kinds of observers, nobody seems to want to, you know, deal with it. One is that since Obama became president, a huge uptick in the amount of gun ownership, possibly by almost 100 million extra guns on the, in the system. That's probably more like 50. And since he became president, the gun violence rate went from 7 per 100,000 to about 3.8. It's almost in half of what it was when he got into office. Yet, if they poll the public, everybody thinks that gun violence is up when it's not. It's almost cut in half. And that's because the propaganda machine has just been going full tilt to make people think that this is going on. It's nonsense.
So, well, who benefits from the propaganda machine doing this? Well, is it just the super liberals that just don't like it, so they're just going to do what they can?
There's that. But it seems to me that the people who have benefited the most have been the gun manufacturers.
Yeah, well, Smith and Wesson.
In some odd way. I mean, the Smith and Wesson, that's what we should have invested in. We tripled.
Right.
It's very strange to watch this whole thing. It's just almost like it's almost like fictional.
Yeah. Smith & Wesson actually moved up about 12 or 13% today. Sturm Ruger was up about 8% on the open.
Yeah. Every time this happens, something like this happens, the gun stocks go skyrocketing. It's every time.
Yeah.
Big shooting somewhere, somebody gets, you know, mass shooting, boom, gun prices, the gun stocks go up. People are buying guns more than ever. But overall, it's been, gun violence has been cut almost in half. And you have to know that a number I've been looking for, two out of three of the 30,000, another 20,000 were suicides, which really lessens it even more if you want to use gun violence against just a random public.
Do you think that maybe the gun violence is down because more people have guns and that people are not willing to take the chance that someone doesn't have a gun? You know what I'm saying? Kind of like the...
Well, that's the art. That is a gun, pro-gun argument, what you just expressed. That's very common. I don't think there's any proof of that one way or the other. I mean, that's what Texans like to say. Hey, we got... Everyone knows anyone could be carrying and, right. You know, nobody does anything. Even though half the states, more than half the states have... liberal gun laws like that, like Texas. I don't know. Maybe there's some evidence that just the violence overall has been lessening. It's less of a violent culture because of who knows.
Yeah.
Fear, brainwashing. I have no idea. All I know is it's gone down.
Well, speaking of,
but I can't. I don't. No one's come up with a 1-to-1 attribution, even though they like to think they have.
Well, speaking about. Fear-mongering and brainwashing and all sorts of crazy things. Well, Donald Trump is still in the lead, which is fascinating. And he's getting more and more ramped up in his curmudgeonly ways and his attacks. Did you see his recent TV ad?
I've heard about it and heard about it and heard about it, and I haven't actually gone through the trouble of finding it, but I haven't seen one, no.
It's just a real negative... piece on a lot of things, but on the whole, on Muslims and how, you know, and well, terrorists really. But really with an undertone of, you know, Muslims being a problem, et cetera. I don't know, what he says a lot of times makes sense. But that's all, you know, it's like, you know, if he was an educator, if you will, or just a speaker, or a motivational speaker for that matter, talking, or a political something or other, whatever, fine. But
muckety muck.
Yeah. Just, I don't know. He's nuts. Anyway, he's still leading. And I just find that fascinating. We'll see. I mean, one of the things we're going to have to discuss in one of these shows coming up is if Donald Trump, if somehow gets the bid to be the Republican nominee, and then starts doing well in the polls. What does that mean for markets, if anything? It's got to mean something.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to wait. I think we have to wait for the two elections, the first two elections. And after that, then it can be, you can see the direction a little better. I mean, this could be wishful thinking. Polls are very dubious. When I get called on polls because I still have a landline.
Uh-uh.
So I get these calls, and it depends on the poll or who the pollster is. I'll take most of these polls and do them.
You will.
And of course, when I'm doing it, I'm trying to figure out who the poll is for.
See, I tell people, when they call me, I tell them we charge a $250 fee.
Yeah, well, I do it for other reasons.
Mm.
I find it educational.
Research.
Because I can figure out I can see what kind of crazy questions they ask. I can see how it's slanted. There's a lot of understanding that you can get from taking these polls.
Right.
And if you get a Gallup or one of these guys calling you, then you really have the pros. And that's kind of interesting, too.
Mm.
But I always take them. And once in a while, they'll ask you, are you this or that? And I said, no, whatever it is. I could be. I might not be. I just try to lie to them, which is, probably dishonest. But I sometimes just bullshit them, too. I just, just tell them lead them down some primrose path. And just to see, I don't know. It's kind of fun to me. I think a lot of people just look at these as just a lark. So they're not serious, given serious right. answers necessarily.
Right. So hence the reason why you don't trust them.
I don't trust it for a lot of different reasons, but that's one of them.
Mm. Well, the big
designed to be slanted to get a certain response. Their questions are very questionable questions. It's like, are you still beating your wife kind of thing? Well, I never beat her before. Why are you still beating her? I never beat her. Well, yes or no.
Right. Well, that's the same thing with statistics. We don't know where they're coming from, what the reality is, and same thing with polls. I guess a lot of these things obviously are meant to just twist our heads and make us march to the same direction.
Well, on the No Agenda show, we have this thesis that the polls are used to keep the elections close so they get more advertising dollars for the people that run the networks.
It all comes back to advertising, always.
Yeah, you bitched about that a minute ago. Well, one of the things I noticed, there was a... Bill Moyers has a newsletter. He sent it out. This is actually more of a No Agenda topic, but I'll mention it. Sends his newsletter out and about underreported stories, and they have all these little stories they're reporting. And one of them had to do with the amount of time and airplay that Bernie Sanders is getting. And it's very low numbers. It's astonishing considering he says provocative things, and he has big crowds that come out to see him. And it's being underreported. And in the process of discussing this, they mentioned how Bernie Sanders is trying to promote the biggest promoter in all the guys of campaign finance reform. Well, no wonder it's the underreported. Right. Nobody wants to talk about this because these networks make all their money from all this huge amounts of advertising dollars that come in. And campaign finance reform will probably break the backs of two or three networks.
Right.
So they're not going to talk about this. And it's just everyone's so naive about not noticing this. It's just so obvious that the networks don't, and all media, big media, New York Times, everybody, nobody wants campaign finance reform. It's money out of their pockets.
Yep.
I
hear you. I mean, and
stumps me that this is
the result of the time when news, which granted, there's always been a slant to various news publications and television news programs, but it really got, I mean, the last, I don't know, 15 years, it's really gotten crazy where, you know that you can tune into Fox and you're going to hear the Republican side, or listen to MSNBC and you can hear the Democratic or liberal side. I mean, it, as opposed to reporting the news. Now they've become platforms. So, and that's, in a sense, that's your native advertising right there from a political sense.
Yep.
So, all right, let's move on. The big three automakers had some really, good numbers in December. This is the U.S. based. As a matter of fact, they reported best ever car sales for 2015 of all time. Pretty interesting. Now, I don't know if it's because there's more money in the pockets of people because they're not spending it on gas and they're buying maybe bigger trucks and things like that, which is, the case. Or is these longer-term loans that are making things look a lot cheaper, and eventually that's going to be a problem in about 3 years, 2 years?
Well, do we know the percentage of people taking these longer-term loans?
I don't know.
Is it a high number? Does it really make a difference? I mean, I can assume it makes a difference with people that really can't afford a payment.
Right.
see these, you know, some of these deals. It's like, well, for $100 a month for the next 10 years, you can get a brand new Cadillac.
Right. I don't know the numbers. I did see a recent study of them that they have grown dramatically over the last few years. And, you know, it's made cars more affordable in a way. It's obviously also made it potentially more profitable for the financing companies, which many of the automobile manufacturers own. So, you know, I think that they want this. I mean, listen, the fact is, if you can sell a product and you can finance it and you can make a spiff on both the sale and the financing, that's a great, great business to have.
Yeah, especially if the finance amounts are paying almost twice as much for the car than the ticket.
Exactly. Exactly.
The what is it, price sticker.
Sticker price. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know guys that are in the car business, but really they're in the, you know, they sell cars, but they're really in the subprime loan business. And at the same time, they have collateral.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's what those car repo guys are.
It reminds me of back in the day when life insurance companies would provide loans for you to buy life insurance. That's gone. But you could finance, it was premium financing. You could finance your life insurance. So instead of buying, you know, whatever it is, $1 million policy, buy a $5 million policy. It's much cheaper. It was kind of all wrapped up into the same deal. And just the whole thing was a big financial thing. And, oh, next 15 years, cash value grows, and then you could pay off the loan and blah, 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 blah. And at the time, the loan was tax deductible. It was a real scam.
Hmm. I don't remember that, but it sounds like one.
Yeah. I think Executive Life was one of the companies that did it, and they went belly up. They actually had other problems because their investments were in junk bonds at the time, and you know they were giving great yields out on their life insurance and their annuities, but it was all tied to junk bonds, and then junk bonds imploded, and so did their investments in the company.
Huh.
Yep. Now, speaking about bonds, I thought it was a really interesting story because it was written by an analyst at BlackRock. Now, BlackRock is one of the world's biggest ETF provider. And I think they're the biggest, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're the biggest player in fixed income ETFs. And they put out a warning and a negative commentary on bonds. So I thought that was really interesting. Usually,
well, this will be the collapse that's supposed to happen.
Yeah, I don't know.
Two or three years ago.
Yeah, because Larry Fink, when he went against Carl Icahn recently in a discussion, and he was defending the whole junk bond and the whole, you know, the junk bond ETFs and all this. You know, he was really saying, "Hey, there's not a problem." And all that. Now you have one of the players. I don't know if this was actually vetted through up and down the chain of BlackRock before this report was put out. Because it definitely smacks into the idea of what they were talking about here. And it's a broad-based discussion. You usually don't find these analysts at all, ever, talking down their book.
No. Usually they talk it up so they can get out. Now, they might be talking it down to get in.
Oh, maybe.
But we'll get in for what?
Yeah. I think it's kind of fascinating. So just keep an eye on the bonds. We're going to keep an eye on that. And you heard it here. You read it.
Well, you know, it's not as though people haven't been all over the bond thing waiting for it to blow up.
Yep. Now, a couple of questions. First of all, I don't know if you've noticed this, but the news about virtual reality has been all over the place lately. Have you seen all this?
No.
I've just been seeing a lot of news stories about virtual reality and the Facebook deal and this one and that and the Google this and... is virtual reality something that's really, well, I guess it all depends on the level of virtual reality.
Well, this is all a promotion for these...
the games?
Goggles.
Yeah, well, who's going to wear those things?
Well, there's two kinds of them, too. It's very interesting. I've tried them on, the ones from... whatever the name of that futuristic-sounding company got bought up.
Oculus?
By Oculus Rift.
Right, Oculus Rift, yeah.
Got bought up.
Yep.
And so it's interesting. It's fascinating in a funny kind of a way. You look around and it's like it's, and because it uses a phone.
Right.
This is the. I thought this was the genius of the whole thing. You take a phone with a nice screen, especially if it's got a nice screen, and the phone goes into the slot, and then you run some software on the phone to do all whatever it has to do. And the phone's got the phone has already been built with all the bells and whistles. It's got GPS, so it knows where you are. It's got the high resolution screen. It's got the connectivity. It's got all these things that are built into the phone already, so you can use the phone as a display. Now, to me, it seems there's one silliness to it, which is that you're say you get involved with the phone, you get this stupid glasses on, you get wearing this thing, the phone's in there, and you get a call.
Yeah, so you hand, so what? So you don't have to take it off. It's somehow the microphone is pumped into the glasses, and you have earbuds.
I'm not sure that would work as well because your microphone, your mouse, nowhere near the microphone. So what are you going to take a call and in the middle of like some game you're playing or something that you're in the middle of and you're fighting with one of your buddies and he's about to hit you with the sword and you're about to do something, you bring the phone rings and you know somebody's on the line. I mean, that to me seems like a problem.
Okay.
Nobody addresses it.
Probably a problem driving with him too.
Oh, right. Well, that I don't think you want to do.
No. But wasn't there something many years ago that I think it was Sony? Sony put out a device that was just like that, that had small lenses, but they were far enough away that it gave you the impression that you were watching like a widescreen movie?
Yeah, yeah. This is different. I can't tell you exactly why it's so different because I played with those Sony glasses when they came out. And it makes it look like you're in a big theater. I mean, this was one of the ideas. Oh, wear these instead of getting an expensive screen. It'd give you a headache. This thing probably does, too, if you wore it long enough. I don't know. I don't know if your eyeballs really like this trickery that much.
Right. You know what the problem I really have with this all is? That more and more people are living not in this world. They're living in their phone in a fake world by social media. Right. And now we want to disappear into virtual reality. I mean, the best virtual reality is life.
You take a look outside. Go walking down the street. No, it's horrible.
Right. I'm going to get virtual reality.
When I was listening to some crazy podcast and these guys were in Italy and they say you go to see a papal thing on Sunday, the Pope or somebody comes out, says you can't see it. Everybody lifts up their phone or iPad. Everybody, like 10,000 people lift up their phone and they turn it on and start taking pictures. So all you see is just a sea of phones and then it's bright displays. You can't even see the Pope.
Yep. And by the way, speaking about the phones, back in the day when I went to a concert, what would you do when you know, the lights went down? You would light a lighter, right? Everybody have lighters, right? Now everybody's just holding up their phones. They're not even putting a lighter app on. They just hold their phones up.
Well, they have a phone with a flame on it.
Yeah, but they don't do that. They just hold up the phone.
Play with a flame.
Just hold up the phone.
People. It's dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb. Yep.
Speaking of phones. The lighters was dumb too, by the way.
I understand that. But most of the time, they weren't just holding those up. They were using them for other things. Back in the day when you could smoke inside, you know, the buildings, right? You go to a concert and you couldn't breathe. Yeah. Remember those days?
Not really.
Oh, come on. Anyway, speaking about phones. Apple now this was news today. This is very interesting. Is expected to reduce the output of their iPhone 6S and 6S Plus by around 30%.
Why?
For the quarter, because it seems to be too much inventory. There's some kind of inventory adjustment going on.
It's about time they started backing up.
Yeah. Now what's interesting about this is that the story goes on. This was in the where was the story? I put a link again. You can go to the DH Unplugged site and dhunplugged.com. Go to the story, the show notes for this particular episode, and you'll find all this information. There's a link there. This is from the Nikkei.com, Asia area. And they talked about how this is not because sales are slowing, which I don't understand. But okay, it's not because sales are slowing. It's because there's just an inventory adjustment going on. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard, by the way. But production was going to start kind of ramping back up in the next quarter or so once this inventory thing is done. But on that news, Apple came down. I think it's trading at 102 and change. The part suppliers, you know, you look at all the different, they got whacked. This happened once before, by the way. Very similar to this. I think it was maybe even the similar quarter to this.
Maybe.
Where Apple was getting down. By the way, Apple is down, I think, 20-ish percent from its high.
Well.
Right now. And many of the other companies, like, you got a Skyworks Solutions, Cirrus, you know, there's a bunch of, there's a hand, I mean, a good handful of companies. A lot of them are Asian related. A lot of them are in Japan and South Korea. So these stocks got pretty pummeled today on this news. Now, another stock that got totally pumped, I mean, just ripped today. I don't know if you saw this announcement, was Fitbit. Ripped. Things were going just swimmingly well. New Year started. People were buying back in. And I think the stock was up a few percent on Monday or so. It started up a couple of percent today. And all of a sudden at 11 o'clock, I noticed, what's going on over there? Things are getting a little bouncy on Fitbit, right? So I looked it up. They announced a new product. It's called the Blaze. It's going to be $199 and available in March as a pre-sale item. I'm not sure when it's going to actually come out. But it seems this product is a competitor to the Apple Watch. Now, I'm not sure if when this was announced, you know, the stock was down, by the way, 18% on this news. So I'm not sure if it's because they're going against Apple and getting outside the area, because this could be a higher cost, lower margin item, or they just think it's going to be a flop. I'm not quite sure, but.
Well, could it be some, I don't know either, but, and I haven't seen any analysis of why it got pounded, but is it possible that people don't think much of the Apple Watch and they see this company going in that direction, the Apple Watch, instead of sticking to their own business?
But even if they announce a product that's going to be a flop, right? They still got the other products that are out there, and it's not going to cannibalize. I don't think it's, well, maybe it would cannibalize their other products, but, you know, that are higher margin, because those Fitbit things are not a lot to make. It doesn't cost a lot.
Right, as you've proven by buying a clone.
Right, exactly. So maybe the thought is that this will cannibalize their other products and therefore be.
And maybe it doesn't have the margins.
Right. But 18% or so. I think it finished down October, maybe even 19% at the end of the day. That's pretty ugly. And then Volkswagen came out with some news today. Actually, two companies that we've been tracking with bad news. One is Volkswagen. Came out and reported that December sales, about 31,000 cars in the U.S., down about 9.1% year over year. Which isn't that terrible considering what's going on and people are still buying their cars, only a 10% drop.
I was at the over by the bakery I go to, and there was some guy, and I was getting out of this parking lot, and there's this guy driving out with a Volkswagen, a TD of one of the diesels. And I was just so tempted, since I was in Berkeley, I was just so tempted to yell at him.
Really?
Get that polluting crap off the street.
Yeah.
Something like some a-hole thing to do.
I'm sure this is not the first time I heard it.
I'm sure this was so funny about it.
Everybody starts throwing eggs. You know? sulfur smelling eggs at the car.
Yeah, there you go.
But their stock came down. Now, on top of that, there was an announcement today that the U.S. is suing the company, I think, for about $9 billion. I don't know exactly where that money goes to.
It's always good to get some of that billions into the coffers.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where that money goes to. Is that in the...
I think it goes into the general fund.
General fund.
So I'm pretty sure.
They're suing the company. Now, you would think that it would be used to pay back those that got ripped, or maybe it's just a...
No.
You know?
It's a tax scam.
Yeah. So hopefully... You know, Volkswagen still has to come up with a good plan to either fix or pay for.
There is no good fix.
No, I agree. So, anyway, that stock got hit pretty good on that on both those items. Now, the other stock that's been a problem, it hit, and you're short this stock, by the way, is Chipotle.
Yes.
Now, there was another, dude, I don't know if we talked about this because we didn't have a show. There was another outbreak.
Yeah, I know.
That was
Why don't they just close up shop?
Yeah. Somebody's
either sabotaging the company or the guys who buy. I mean, there's Mexican burrito shops everywhere in the country, especially, well, mostly on the West Coast, but we have a lot of them. And they don't have these issues.
Yeah, well, what's really interesting, I thought, was first you had the E. coli outbreak, right? The first one. And then it traveled a bit. And then you had a norovirus in Boston, I think it was, right?
Yeah, back east somewhere. Yeah.
And then you had a different strain of E. coli.
Again, yeah.
Somewhere else.
Yeah.
This is after they said they're cleaning their kitchens, they're doing all the stuff and all that, and that, after they were apologetic, but we all know that their tone and their delivery of their apology was pretty lame. You know, they were just like, oh, why is everybody beating up on us and all that? Now, I'll tell you right now that tonight, my son said, hey, I want to go out and I'd like to get a burrito. Now, traditionally, we have gone to Chipotle. We didn't go. Went somewhere else.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of good places to get burritos. And although I'll never know because I refuse to go there, I'm assuming from what I've read and what you've said is that the Chipotle burrito is not really it's just kind of bland.
Well, not to mention it's laced with E. coli.
Well, besides the E. coli, maybe that spices it up a little.
Yeah. Look, that's our flavoring. It's our special flavor. But one of the things that also happened is that I'm seeing is that I was with a bunch of kids over the Christmas break or over the New Year's break, and they were actually taking pictures of Chipotles and sending them around saying, hey, another Chipotle with nobody in it. So it's making the social media rounds.
Which makes it worse, by the way.
Oh, of course.
You're just drawing attention to the fact that nobody wants to even take a chance on eating there.
Right.
And if it gets on social media and they're saying, what's going on? Why is the place empty? Oh, have you heard? Haven't you paid any attention at all? And then they find out. And they say, oh, God, I won't go there. Oh, no, this is over for this company. I can't see this company recovering from this.
I agree. And at first, when we talked about this, we likened it to the E. coli breakout of Jack in the Box in the 70s, I think it was. And that was a very isolated incident in a geographic area.
I don't think it was E. coli, though. It was something else.
Oh, was it? Well, it was a bad health outbreak.
But it was poison food,
right,
yes.
Right, exactly. So this is interesting. It was holding the 500 line, and then it broke down, and I think it closed at about 450 today. We can look at a moment. Now, another stock that you're short is Pioneer Natural Resources. And tonight,
PXD.
The good news for you is they announced a public offering of 10.5 million shares. That's good news for you. It should be.
Yeah, it should be.
It should be. So they're diluting the shares. Obviously, they need money. And we know that the entire industry, we'll call it the energy sector, is getting to a point that they have a real problem. Many of them are going to have to start refinancing their bonds. Their hedges are wearing off after some time of holding them, and whether they were good or bad, depending on which way they played it. And on top of that, we're not seeing any real recovery in either natural gas or oil prices. And that, you know, the longer it goes on, the bigger problems we have here.
Yeah.
So we've seen dividend cuts. Now we're seeing share offerings.
The beginning of the end when you have a dividend cut.
Yeah. Let's see here. A couple more things. Make sure. Okay, hedge funds. One of the worst years around for a while. 2015 was also a negative year. Last few years, the hedge fund universe has been lagging considerably the various indices. At the end of the year, Ackman, who had that big Valiant position, in his Pershing Square, and plus a few others,
right.
Down 20% for the year.
Not good.
Einhorn's Greenlight, which he was short. I found this out recently. I believe he was short Green Mountain. That was not good when they were bought out and the shares shot up. Plus he had a big piece of Sun Edison, which crashed. He was down 20%. Let's see what happens with this whole area, because a lot of these guys have high watermark requirements for bonuses. So what happens is that they get paid, maybe it's usually like a 2-20 deal. So they get paid their 2% for administration and all that, but they don't get the bonuses. Sometimes what happens is they close down the funds and open up a new one so they can start from scratch.
That's not a bad idea.
You gotta love these guys.
Hey, these guys are the pros.
Yeah, exactly. And our final story before we get to the stocks, we have a few things to talk about the stocks, is Malaysia Airlines bans checked bags over fears headwind. This is the story title. Over the fears that headwinds could leave jets short on gas. So in other words, they're saying that the weight of the checked baggage in combination with the headwinds that will push against the plane will cause a situation where they're going to have not enough fuel to get to their destinations. Have you ever heard such a bucket of shit in your life?
What's the point? What are they? Huh?
My theory?
No, I've never heard anything so stupid.
This is Malaysia.
It doesn't make any sense. Those calculations are very accurate now, about how to get from here to there.
Right.
It's all factored in. They got the winds and everything all, you know, I don't know. But that's a weird airline. That thing is, you know, they lost a plane.
Well, I think maybe they're concerned. Maybe the real story is that they're very concerned potentially about some kind of terrorist act in the checked bags.
Well, that could be, or those batteries blowing up.
Yeah, that seems a lot more reasonable than, well, we think we may run out of fuel with an extra couple of pounds.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
You know, what are they going to do? They're going to weigh everybody and say, dude, listen, if you get on the plane, we're not going to make it to Georgia. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, folks. We will not be serving meals today because the extra potential weight you'll be gaining could hurt our chances of landing on the runway. That's stupid. Don't you think?
Well, the way I said, they just should open the bottom hole on the toilet and just dump the crap right.
Yep. All right, let's get a look at our stocks. Now, one of the things we're going to have to decide here is what we're going to do. What I mean by that is that in past years, we've actually taken stocks off the list at the new year to start from, you know, start from scratch.
I have a block here.
What does that mean?
It says log in.
Oh, yeah, that's if you want to see the stocks, you have to log in, of course. That's why I gave you.
I don't have an account.
Yes,
I've been getting these stocks.
It's attached.
Because you had a direct
link. It's attached.
Oh.
Don't worry. I got you covered.
I got to figure out how to get back to that page.
It's your Gmail. What you can do is, if you want to see the stocks in live form, what we do is we have a spreadsheet in our table that you can look at over on DH Unplugged. And yes, as John has recently pointed out, you do just need to do a quick registration. Nothing major. To actually see this, and you can just log in and see what's going on.
And how come all the stocks are mine?
What do you mean? There's a lot of them. I don't know. Well, there are a lot of them yours. You're right about that. There's one. Yeah,
it's like every one of them except two.
One, two, three, four.
Four. You have four. I've got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
I'm not sure
why
that
is. What happened to all your stocks?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think I had some picks a couple of weeks, and you had a few weeks that you had a bunch. Either that or my stuff all got shorted out. Let's see. Let me look. Let's look at the closed positions. Hang on. Closed positions 2015. Man, my thing is slow today. That's 14. 15. Okay. Let's see. So closed. No, that's not it. Closed positions 2015. All right. So let's see who these are. Okay. Moving this up. That was not Solar City. That was a buy of yours. Was it yours? It was yours? No, it was mine.
Yeah, no,
it
was, I was Solar City because they, which got dumped for some reason.
Yeah.
That was a good profit, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, you made Solar City 28%. Then Tata, I was taken out of. Nugget, I was taken out of. Freeport was mine, I was taken out of. Medallion, I was taken out of. Then we had a bunch of yours in there. How much in pain made 15%. That was, they were going back all the way to now October, though. So I guess there wasn't that many. But I usually have one. I try to focus on something. And oftentimes you have several because you got these guys.
No, this is not true.
Okay.
But okay.
I don't know why. You've done
a lot.
For
some reason, I guess my stocks don't move around enough.
Maybe.
You have, you're still way up on Shake Shack Short. That's the highest, that's the winner on the sheet here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm trying to catch up, which I think I'll be able to do with my short of Chipotle,
yeah,
which is up 17%.
That's beautiful.
I like the reason, the killing people.
That's what we thought. People are going
to
die.
That's a good reason as any. Other than that, there's a couple of, you know, Best Buy, which is another one of yours, is way up. It's a short. These are shorts that are doing well.
I'm surprised that Best Buy has not been able to do better.
Yeah, I am too, actually. I think next quarter is going to skyrocket or collapse.
Yeah, one of their competitors in or not competitors, one of the similar companies in Australia just closed shop. You think that should do something there? By the way, this is not the things that we talk about here. Just to let you know,
it's a game we play.
Not an offer to buy or sell any securities. Make sure that you understand that any investing includes a lot of risk. You can lose all sorts of money. If you decide to use any of our things that we talk about, make sure to do your own research or go to a qualified professional to do so. John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company clients may own any of the stocks that are listed here. So just be aware of that. Otherwise, I mean, so what do we want to do? Do we want to take
these? I think we should pull the stocks that we don't want to continue on with.
Okay.
Because we got dead money on here. I mean, I would love to do that because I've been sitting on IBM.
That's unbelievable.
Well, it says since October, but I'm pretty sure it's longer than that. I don't know what, maybe I've done this a couple of times.
Yeah,
I can't
twice.
Seem to get anywhere. It's just dead money. Yeah, it's up. It's just short on IBM. It's up a little bit. I just didn't get rid of that. I'd love to get rid of the ProShares Ultra Short Lehman Brothers because, or the Lehman 20 plus, it's the ETF for bonds, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, TBT. So let me take off this one.
TBT, there's no big gain or loss there. It's dead money. These are dead money I'd like to get rid of.
TBT, we're taking off 43.79. I'm just going to code them in as the current price, and we're just going to move them off, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Moving them off.
I would get rid of that. I'd get rid of New Mountain Finance, which didn't go as well as I hoped, which was a insider's buying. Shouldn't have gone down. It did. I'd get rid of Tracon Pharmaceuticals. I don't know how that's a short. Because it's insider selling. I never do that. I get the sense that this was miscoded.
Oh.
Should have been a long. Should have been a buy, and it should be up.
Okay, hold on. Watch that. Well, you can't see this, but there we go. It's going to change all around. There you go. You're up. You're still getting rid of it. You're up 7.6%.
I'm up 7.6 instead of down 7.6.
Right.
I'll leave it on.
I have a feeling there's only going to be green left by the time we're finished here.
Now, here we have the Ryman Hospitality Properties. That's got to go. It's just doesn't, but this again, this is insiders that this may take off someday, but it's out. Let's get rid of it. Yeah, okay. You're right. Let's just get rid of the reds. Here's another one. This is dead money. This is not a red or a green. It's just sitting there. This is Southern Copper.
Right.
Now this one is a chairman buying. I still think this is a good long term, but I don't know when the commodities are going to come back. It could be in 9 months. So I don't want to sit on this thing for the next 9 months because it's just dead money and it just looks like it's stupid.
It's looking better. We only have one red left.
Well, let's get rid of it. That's Ares Management.
1285. We're going to close it
out. This is another one. But it's not up or down. It's up. It's down -1. It's a buy. It was another one of these insider. The president's buying. I think this is a good stock to think about buying. I mean, I might just buy it for my own personal account. I might get in it because it's at a good price. But I don't see any reason to stick with it. While we're on the topic of not just getting rid of some of the greens, Green Hill and Company.
Green Hill Company. Yep.
Looks a little like dead money to me. I'd get rid of it. I'm going to pare this down. I mean, I'd get rid of some of the greens, too. I mean, I got rid of IBM.
Always good to
Here's another one. Here's another one. This Neolithics, which I'm up 5.1%, 5.2% on because it was a falling knife. I thought it was a good idea.
Right.
It's up.
We're taking the profit.
I'm going to take that. Yeah, because it's a penny stock, and let's get rid of that because of that. I just wanted to see if it would work out. It did.
Yep.
So I'm taking the profit. I'm done.
Now, what about Wynn Resorts and Chipotle you're keeping? Wynn Resorts you're keeping. Trek on Pioneer Natural.
Because Wynn's buying tons of it. Which one?
Pioneer Natural Resources.
Pioneer Natural Resources, which now I'm long, so.
No, you're short.
Oh, I'm short.
Yeah.
And it's going, and I'm ahead.
Yeah.
Director selling it. This is one of the few times that, this is another example of me doing this. Now I'm getting rid of it.
Getting rid of it. Okay, 125. This is after I just told you they're doing a $10 million offering.
I don't think it's going to go down anymore. Do you think so?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen some crazy things where the companies do things like eliminate their dividends or bring money in as a successful offering. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, well, even though it's very dilutive, who cares? We're going to, you know, the fact is they have more money in now, and that's good.
Yeah, I'm done.
All right. All right. So we have left on your side, we have Tracon. We have Wynn long. We have Chipotle short. That's your side.
Yeah.
So I have to make a decision. I think that I'm going to stay short the high yield bonds.
Okay.
I think I'm just going to stay short Best Buy. I'm going to stay short Shake Shack too. Yang, which is the short on the Hang Seng Index, three times short, up 11.67%. I'm just keeping that too. So there you go.
You're all short. You're totally short.
I'm going, yeah. Well, yeah. Yes.
I think it's interesting how it works out.
Yeah.
Because the market is in a position where it looks like shorts might be a good idea. And I think the two of us have really finally got a bunch of these little red things on there that say short.
Right.
Which is not usual.
You're usually on the long side. I'm
rarely short.
Yep. Well, I'm going to go long a stock, which is a stock that has fallen from grace, recently came back in a big way, has come back a little bit more do a little bit of a back and fill. It's FXCM. Now, this stock pretty much got just obliterated when the Swiss franc was decoupled from the dollar. Remember that? And there was just a major explosion, and it went crazy, like up 40% or something like that.
The symbol?
Well, the stock that I'm looking at is FXCM. Now, they got really hurt because they had a lot of currency traders. That's what they do, currency trading. They had a lot of currency traders that had these positions on that just got killed. F as in Frank, X as in X-ray, C, M.
FXCM. FXCM Inc.
Yeah. So FX, like in currency.
$16 and it's up a buck.
Yep. And this stock was, if you look at the chart, it looks terrible. But one of the things that's interesting is that if they could stabilize themselves, and with all this currency and shenanigans going on, if currency traders get in there and can, you know, want to...
Holy crap, what a chart.
Yeah. I told you, the company almost went under.
Yeah, it's going, pumping along, it's doing just fine, and then just a floor fell out of it. Yep. Dropped like...
They needed a $400 million infusion to keep the company afloat.
It was at 175 almost, and then it just dropped like a rock down to 16, $10, I guess, and then that's a 16. Wow.
Yep. So I think that if there is the potential for a lot more currency transactions and currency trading with all of the crazy currency moves going on, if people, you know, this could be very profitable for the company if there's no major blow-ups that they're on the wrong side of. They do a few things, but they're a retail operation, you know, retail, they're one of the biggest, if not the biggest, retail currency operations.
So those are the guys that you run into when you go to the airport or what?
No. You know how you trade stocks at Schwab?
Oh, these guys do all the currency stuff?
Yeah, only currency, yeah. So you open up an account with them and you want to trade the euro or the krone or the yen. These guys specialize in that.
Well, let's go back to what caused the collapse.
Back in whatever.
On the wrong side of the Swiss franc?
Yeah, the Swiss franc. A lot of people were shorting the Swiss franc against the dollar as a play because it was linked to the euro. And they I think it was the euro. And they decoupled it. They broke the peg. And if you look at that, the stock, the Swiss franc went up like 40%, which is a lot an enormous amount for a currency overnight. And that... Anybody that was short, who was using the Swiss franc as a proxy for the euro, for whatever god-awful reason they did, okay, got just cremated.
Wow.
And many of the accounts or the many of the investors went negative in their accounts because currencies are very highly leveraged. So...
Did they go negative and they couldn't pay back this company?
Exactly.
This company just ate it?
Yep.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I don't know how I missed that story.
Yeah.
It was last January.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It was overnight. All of a sudden, boom. We're like, what the hell? Things went haywire.
Wow. Huh.
So
this is an interesting speculation.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going to hold on to. You have anything else for this evening?
No, not really. There's a couple of things going on. There's some insider stuff going on, but it's like pipelines. It's the same stuff I'm not comfortable with. I'm not comfortable with going long on anything at the moment.
Right.
I like this play, though. I mean, this is something it's very interesting to watch. This will be fun to watch.
Yeah. I have a 15% stop on this.
It's a big one. Okay.
Well, usually I do 10. And just to let you know that I want to congratulate you that and tell everybody that all of our stocks are profitable.
At the moment.
So everybody should go over to dhunplugged.com, check out the new and improved show notes and links and things that we have there, as well as looking at the stocks that we have. I know a lot of people like to do this because they want to find out where, you know, what things are happening, because it is a constantly updating spreadsheet of where we are, of our entries, our last prices, of, you know, how we're doing with this. I get a lot of emails on that. I got an email today from somebody who said that they were thanking me because they made some good money on the China short. So I said, hey, that's great. Just to let you know, donations appreciated. So you know what he wrote back? Thank you so much. You know what I did? He said, I made a donation in your name to the Bernie Sanders campaign.
I said, hey, there you go.
I said, that's not exactly what I was saying, but
we have to come up with another scheme if we're going to make money. Unless you want Sanders to be president.
Yeah, I know. That could be a problem.
It's all going to go.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're done for the evening, and that's a wrap. So we'll talk next week.
Okay, all see right. You then.
Bye-bye. You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.